All right. Well, hey, everybody. We are back with the Wayfinders Church podcast, and I'm really excited about today's episode. And honestly, instead of doing a series of episodes, we're just going to introduce from time to time an ongoing segment called Blurring the Lines. And we're going to have conversations with people that we find really fun, really interesting. And so today, for our episode, we have guest appearance by friend of Wayfinders and probably more than a friend for me, Terry Barker. Say what's up, man.
Hey, how are you?
So for those of you listening, when I say I'm Todd, my last name is Barker as well, so you get the idea. This is my father. And so we're excited to jump into this today. But first, before we get any further, let me, I would be remiss if we didn't say this, right? Wayfinders Church, we want people to find life. So whatever you have going on in your world, we believe that when you live a life that loves other people first, that gets outside of yourself, something is opened up within you. When you choose to do life together with people and learn from their story and what God is up to in their lives, and then when you choose to live God's story out and you celebrate the collective testimony and we gather together to do that, that's a recipe to find life. And so, yeah. So that's what Wayfinders is really at its core all about. And so we're trying to innovate paths to Jesus. And so maybe you've had some stumbling blocks along the way. We hope we can help you, you know, find meaning and value in the teachings and life of Jesus Christ. So with that being said, boy, guys, it is here. The big day. The number one event. No, I'm not talking about the Super Bowl. I'm talking about the week after Super Bowl, because February 12th is officially launch week. Dun, dun, dun. Launch week, where we are launching our weekly Sunday worship experiences, and we're launching groups in full swing, which means we'll be meeting weekly after that. Now, Terry, Dad, I'm just going to call you Dad because you're Dad. Dad, welcome to this episode. And you were able to attend one of our Tri-Church series. What did you find meaningful about that?
I think that one of the things that I found meaningful was the idea of everybody having a place. It was illustrated by using Lego blocks, and everybody was able to pick their own size, shape, color of Lego block and plug it into the greater group. And that kind of reminded me of the fact that each of us has our own specific size, weight, and color that we plug into a larger group.
Yeah. Yeah, which actually, that's a great jump in to some of what we want to get to today. The church has had a narrative that that we're kind of trying to overcome, that basically made people, either by directly saying this or by just framing our conversations to make people feel this, but you know, you know as well as I do, perception's reality. Where people felt like whatever they're doing, whatever job they have, it wasn't really important. What was important was making money to give to the church, or making time available and resources available to give to the activity of the church at the expense of the job and life that they have. Would you say that that's been true for certain people?
Absolutely. That's sort of the way I grew up, is everything was geared around the church, and whatever the church had going on, it took precedent over everything else. And as I've grown in my walk, I've kind of learned that God wants a balance in our lives. I think that, you know, part of the challenge for today, as it has been for a long time now, is to keep family in the order where it should be, as far as, you know, really high priority level. Just keeping things in balance between family and church and life in general.
Yeah.
I think that's what God has always wanted from us.
Yeah. Do you think we tend to like tier different categories? And so what can happen for people is like, and this is probably true for some people, they are very career oriented, like their career gets first and then their family comes second, and their relationship with God and relationship with the church might even be non-existent, right? It's not even on the radar screen at all.
Right.
But the narrative that I think, not that you brought this into my experience of church, but that for a lot of people, and as I got out on my own into the world, what I noticed was it was framed so that like everybody go get good jobs so that you can pour more into what really matters, because your job is just a resource base. And that's a gross misunderstanding of why we work and why we have wired ourselves the way that we're wired and what we get to be about.
I think that stems from a deeper issue of not understanding the whole mission of who God is and what God wants in this world, which I think the church has misconstrued as building an institution called the church. I'm pretty sure that God's priority is to build up his people and to make his people joyful and missional and live life. And I think that those are two fundamentally different concepts. And I think that, you know, the issue that you address here, its root is a misunderstanding of the mission of God.
Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. So when you say a misunderstanding of the mission of God, it means that the church was placing the emphasis incorrectly because it was saying it had exclusivity to God's activity in the world.
Right. That everything serves the church. And I love the church. Don't get me wrong. But the church is a function of serving God. It's not the end all. There is a relationship, and Christian theology teaches that there should be a relationship with a living God that takes priority over the church and over everything else. I taught you, and I taught many of my students down through the years, the order of priority is my relationship with my Lord first, my relationship with my wife second, my family third, and then everything else falls in under those things.
Yeah. So let's get into your background, because I'm sure at this point some people are curious, like, hey, Todd's dad's on the podcast, and what does he do? What's his story? So you made a leap early on in your career into ministry and became a more or less a career missionary. Yeah. And then all of that kind of shifted about 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Taking a step back from that, and then that led you to what you do today. So briefly, yeah, give us a kind of a minute synopsis of what you did, and then what you were feeling in transition, and then what is it that you're doing today?
Okay, so like you said, I was a career missionary. That means sent out wherever the church sent me to do whatever job the church wanted me to do, which I was happy with. And through a set of circumstances, uncontrollable to me, we came back and I tried to pastor a church, actually did pastor a pretty good church, and the Lord was moving us in a different direction. We started working with a group of house churches in a different city, and the Lord wasn't finished transitioning, and he opened up a door for us to open a business, which to my mind was, you know, on the other end of the spectrum from mission work. But as I get more into doing this business, I realize that it's not at all far removed from mission work. So right now, I own a Christian Brothers automotive repair and maintenance facility, with the Christian principles and ethics. And that has become my new platform for missions where I live.
Okay. All right. Let's back up for a second and unpack some of those things, because what you just actually said was huge. You, in your relationship to God, in your kind of, hey, I'm going to follow Jesus, you get this idea that to live that mission out, you're going to choose to devote your entire life. I grew up overseas part of the time, where you are launching churches, developing teams. You are training college students and teaching college and seminary classes. You are balancing budgets and kicking strategy butt worldwide. And you did that on three different continents over a period of 20 years.
Yeah. 15, and,
oh, 15
precise,
years.
But
okay, yeah. And well, you, with pastoring, I guess I'm adding pastoring years in there too.
Okay.
And so you're doing that because to live out missional living meant living it in service of this institution, and then there comes a break point.
Yeah. Yeah, that actually was very emotionally stressful. I wouldn't want to go through it again, because, you know, the way I understood what mission was for me was to live overseas and to do the work of the church overseas. And, you know, like you said, teach classes, train pastors, start stuff when there isn't any stuff, colleges in particular, churches, whatever. And then there's this transition, and it's about a 3-year, 4-year transition, where God is shifting my paradigm. And I feel like my emotional footing is uncertain, and it's very stressful, because He's changing my understanding of what mission is.
Wow.
And so, sometimes I think that following God, really following God, you have to set ego aside. You have to set ambition aside. You have to set personal agendas aside and say, okay, then, what do you want, God? And when you do that, he's going to move you where he wants you. And it's kind of freaky. It's kind of scary.
Yeah, because there's got to be almost a total loss of, like, well, I was this, like, identity-wise, like, I was this, but what am I now?
Yes, that's exactly the way you feel.
Yeah. So you transition out of that, and the net result is you buy into and now own a franchise of a business. Where you run the day-to-day operations and manage and oversee an entity. And how many employees do you currently have, and have you had total since you've started?
Currently we have 5 employees.
5.
And, you know, employees have come and gone, so I don't know how many we've actually had. It's one of the biggest challenges of business is finding the right people. Can't remember his name, wrote a book, Good to Great.
Jim Collins.
Jim Collins, yeah. Thank you. He talks about getting the right people on the bus. And that's not an easy, stress-free endeavor. And so we've been working hard to get the right people on the bus and get the right people in the right seats. You know, and I think right now we're in a pretty good place. I think there's always room for improvement. But transitioning from being a missionary to being a business owner is an odd transition to most people's mind. And yet, here I am.
Yeah.
And well, what I'm having to do is put it together in my head. What does that actually look like? What does that actually mean?
Yeah. So now the question is, and this is what I really think that probably is the best part of this conversation, the best part of exploring this is, now that you own this business and you have these employees and you have hundreds of customers that are walking in the door, at some of them, right? Not all of them, but some of them, very vulnerable times in their life, where their car is on the fritz and they don't have time to mess with it. They don't have the budget to really take care of it, but they know it's got to be done. And you as a organization are committed to a high integrity, high value product and service at a low price. So that's one way you're serving people. But the other way is how you, as an owner, get to do soul care for your employees and your customers.
Yeah.
So you're meeting hundreds and hundreds of people that are coming to you for a need that you get to solve, but you get to do more than that and more than customer care, because it presents this opportunity. So tell me how that transition worked in your mind. For now, this is how I get to be missionally engaging and care for people and direct people and guide people and be present and available for people. Because that's what you thought you were doing with mission work. And
right now
you're doing it in business. What's the difference? And so help us understand that kind of process for you.
Okay. It's a difference of perspective. I think that growing up, I always thought that the pastors, the missionaries, those people who were called to full-time service were the hands-on, nitty-gritty, getting in people's lives and helping people. and business people were just the supporters sending in the cash kind of thing. Now, having lived on both sides of that fence, I see it as exactly the opposite. I feel like the pastors, the missionaries, those people that have committed themselves completely are trying to orchestrate those of us who are in business or in the workforce to be missional. But those of us who are in the workforce are the ones who are rubbing shoulders daily with people who need Christ. I have had more exposure and more opportunity to share my faith with people since I opened the business than I did in 10 years standing behind the pulpit. It's been phenomenal. I've had people come in tears and say, this has happened. And like you said a minute ago, people come in, their car's broke, but it's a symptom of a larger problem in their life. I had a lady come in, brought her Jeep to us. A relative of mine stole the Jeep. It was involved in an armed robbery. Now my Jeep doesn't run. I can't get to work and all this kind of stuff. So the first thing we were able to do is say, hey, do you mind if we just stop and pray for you? Right there in the middle of my business. It was so cool. And she just broke down and said, please pray for me, you know. Well, fortunately for us, we were able to fix her Jeep for really low price. And get her back on the road, because there wasn't that much wrong with it. But I think the fact that we were able to pray with her meant more to her than fixing her car. And this is even with employees. Recently, I was able to help one of my employees who's gone through a pretty nasty divorce to get back on his feet, to help him rent an apartment, to, you know, try to get him reestablished. So these kind of opportunities come to me almost daily. Can I, as a business owner, help with this ministry or help with this, not-for-profit, entity, or, you know, help with this kids group or any of these things? And so these opportunities are almost daily, and it's really rubbing shoulders with the very people that I was trying to reach as a pastor and as a missionary. Now I feel like I'm in the mission of God, not kind of overseeing or, you know, directing the mission of God. I'm kind of in it. And for me, that's a good thing.
Yeah, well, I'm hearing your story and I'm getting more excited for you. Because what I feel like you're saying is all of the sudden what I understood mission to be was actually like, it wasn't on the forefront. It was like behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like, now I get to be in it. Like, I'm not doing behind the curtain. I'm on the stage. Like, I'm in the play.
Yeah.
Not behind it. And so that can be really exciting. So for us at Wayfinders, part of the narrative for us is that we want people to understand that God has made each of us with unique passions and skill sets and abilities and put us each in a unique position with our career, our family, our relationship network, all of those things. And what if God, you know, just what if God was doing those things, not just to bless us, but to give us opportunity to be a blessing into others' lives?
Yeah.
And I
think that's really exactly what God is doing if we will open our eyes or ears and look for and hear God's voice and look for those opportunities. I think God doesn't do anything by mistake, and I think he has a lot of direction for us, but I think that we have to listen to his voice and we have to look for his direction in every one of us. Whether we are scooping ice cream or fixing cars or, you know, a nurse at a hospital or whatever, a police officer or a business person, we have an opportunity to be missional each and every day.
That's good. We have an opportunity. And so when you say missional, you mean soul care, love people, reframe people's lives, point them to God in such a way that is like, hey, here's where God is at work in your life, in our world. Like, let's acknowledge and celebrate that.
Yeah. And when I started this thing, I thought, oh, well, that means I do devotions for my team at work, you know, my employees. And while that's true, and I do a devotion once a week at least, that's not the core of it. I think being missional is more about being and less about talking. I get the opportunity to be Christ to them and show them Christ in a more tangible way on a day-to-day basis in how I react to customers, in how I react to setbacks, in just daily conversations. There's an opportunity for me to be Christ. And I think that's exactly what God wants of me, is to be Christ in my environment. And that naturally opens up doors to help people, to be in ministry. And that's what ministry means, at least to me, is to help someone.
Yeah. So then for you, missional has come from serving kind of the bigger institution, and having all of the resources kind of subservient into that, to understanding that God has placed us, each of us, where we are so that we can do meaningful life with the people around us, with our fellow employees or employees underneath us, with our teams of people that we interact with our school groups, with our clubs, with our neighbors, with our neighborhood, with our family. And these all, like, so the lines of what is business that I'm here to make money for, it's really just, yeah, the business makes money, like it sustains, you know, the family life, but it's the vehicle through which I get to go just help people.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. That is the case. And you said something just then that kind of resonates with me, in that, you know, I used to see ministry as helping the institution of the church. And now I see ministry as helping the individuals who are the church.
Yeah, wow, that's good. Well, my friends, maybe you have a crazy idea to go start a business. Maybe the entrepreneurial spark has hit you. Maybe you want to see your current business add on something that it does for good, because you want to see 10% of the profits go to help a needy cause. Maybe you have been told that what you do is not really of value to God. But if you are pouring into people's lives, if you are given an opportunity to care for people, if you are given an opportunity to treat people in such a way that you can, through that, pray with them and point them to God, doesn't matter what it is. You could be the owner or director of a storage facility place. And we can talk about all of the challenges with consumerism at a later time. But let's say that's your job. Are you telling me that when people are in relational crisis and when they are in places where they are moving, that they are not at a vulnerable state? They're coming in there and they've got to put their stuff somewhere because they don't have a place to put their stuff. Their life's in chaos. And so you have the opportunity to reorder their life and give some semblance of peace, and how you treat people in those places matters. So whether it's you said whether you are part of the garbage pickup team or whether you are part of a automotive business or whether you are a doctor or a teacher or a construction worker or whatever it is that you do, you have people that are placed around you. And you have passions that are placed within you so that you can be Christ in the world.
Yeah. I think that's exactly it. I think you have to look at the people that you interact with on a daily basis and be Christ to them. Not just talk Christ, but be Christ.
Well, there you have it, my friends. As always, I want to say much love, and may you come to see whatever it is that you're doing. You have the opportunity to help people, to do soul care, and may it and what you do bring life and help people find life. We'll see ya. Much love.